20th or the 21st? The 21st? March 21st, 2004, workshop on city. So one of the things that I just want to mention before, we're going to do a lesson in city, which means that we're going to work in the chairs today because I thought that that would be most appropriate to do. And but one of the things is to become aware of is all the chairs that were or sitting environments that were put in, that there's constraints. So an airplane, for example, like Jody brought up, is a constraint. We can't adjust like our chairs maybe at the office up and down, right? So we have to deal with that. Or the car, but cars are getting better where they have, where cars have, as David mentioned, he can do everything but spin around in his seat. So there's certain situations where we have to really look at what the constraint is and how do we use ourselves to function with the constraint. Okay? Because if we just allow ourselves to be a constraint as well, then that's where we usually have problems. So is thinking throughout today is that there's going to be constraints in sitting environments. A movie theater, in a way, is another constraint. So how do we use ourselves in those situations to get ourselves out of pain or change the pain relationship or learn that eventually we don't need to have the experience of pain? Does that make sense? Okay, great. So what I'd like you to do at this point is put down your coffee cups, your booklets. Preferably, I'd like everything under your chair as much as possible or to the side. So that means nothing in front. And you need at least a chair width next to you. So you need to be spaced out nicely. Could you give me a glass of water? So that you can move comfortably and you're not going to hit your neighbor. And also, let's have you take off your shoes, too. Let's everybody take off your shoes because some people have heels, some people have sneakers. Okay. Now, how many people in the room have not done any of this work before, what we call lesson? Okay, a few of you. So I'll just give some basic directions. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be sitting in the chair, and I'm going to be verbally describing movements for you to do. So what's really important is for you to listen to the direction that I give and to just start doing the movement. What's also really important is that it's not about stretching or straining yourself or there's no end product, okay? It's about you feeling what you do because the answers are in how you do something or perhaps how you don't know how to do something, okay? If you have a question about any of the movements, you can ask me, okay? So if you need to put up your hand, you can ask me, okay? Or if I see you doing something that I feel like I want to come and assist you with, I will. So I'm a much more involved person that I may come over and guide you, and hopefully that's okay with everybody to do that. So, and I think the other important thing is that throughout the lesson, typically it's best to have your eyes closed. There will be times to open your eyes. But I would recommend that you, as much as possible, have your eyes closed for two reasons. One is it's a way for you to be more tuned in and perceptive of yourself. So as soon as we open our eyes, you become aware of your environment. And there's a certain level of disassociation from what's going on inside of you. So as long as your eyes are closed, you can really feel what you're doing. It does not matter what anybody else in the room is doing. Okay, so there's no rights and there's no wrongs. It's completely understanding what you do. So the more that you pay attention to yourself, the better your results will be. Okay, it's clear? Questions? No? Ready? Okay. Huh? Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you. Okay. So first of all, just close your eyes and sit comfortably in the chair. Yeah, glasses would be a good idea if you're comfortable to take them off. If not, you can leave them on. So just sit back in your chair for a moment. And take a moment to observe how you feel right now in sitting. So what does sitting feel like to you right now? And in the way that you're sitting, is it a way that you would call relaxed, comfortable? And why does it feel relaxed or comfortable? How long do you think you would stay in this position before you would need to change your position? So what's interesting is sometimes we pick a position that we think is comfortable, but is it really comfortable or is it familiar? Is it more that it's a habit? And already there's maybe a need for you to want to shift in your chair. So that's an important question to ask yourself throughout the lesson, is becoming aware of what's familiar and what are habits to you versus what feels good and what would be comfortable. Okay, so if you could please come to the edge of your chair, rest your hands on your thighs, and begin to do a movement of just having your eyes look up towards the ceiling. So in this situation, you can't open your eyes and look up. And you only look up as far as it's comfortable, and then you lower them back to what I'll say the beginning point or the horizon. And maybe on the third time, you can make a little notation for yourself of where do you look on the ceiling, or the wall in front of you. Where is that spot? Without moving your head, so you're just using your eyes. Good. And then close your eyes. And now begin to do a movement of taking your head down, your eyes down while they're closed, as if you were going to look in between your knees. So you look down and you move your head down, and again, you always come back to what we call the neutral position or the horizon. Just feel, what is it like just to move your head and direct your eyes down towards the area in between your knees? Good. Nice. Now, continue to do this movement, but begin to add in the possibility that your spine could begin to round backwards and your chest could soften. So your chest, where your sternum or your breastbone is, can that soften, can that fold, can that bend? At the same time as your chin lowers, your eyes look down, you're looking down towards the space in between your thighs. And what's different about the movement now that you add in your chest and your back? And notice what you do to return yourself to neutral. So some of you, which is fine, just lift your head and your eyes. So see if you can also lift your chest and slightly arch your spine, because that would be truly bringing you back to the neutral position, right? But see, many of us round and fold, and then we keep our backs folded, and then we return to just lifting our chin up. So in fact, actually everybody do that. Everybody round yourself, lower your head and your eyes, and then keep your spine in that configuration and just lift up the chin. How does that feel in the neck and the shoulders? And perhaps for some of you that's feeling familiar, what happens when you're at the computer after a while. Now the next time, allow your spine to arch and your chest to lift to come back to the neutral and see if that somehow feels a little bit better. Good. Okay. Sit back in your chairs and just rest. How's the temperature in the room? Okay? Hot, cold, or fine? Okay. Just let me know. Okay, please bring yourselves to the edge of the chair again. And now this time begin to have your eyes look up towards the ceiling closed and allow your chin to move away from your chest at the same time. So you're involving the tilting of the head. So it's just right now the head and the eyes, and then you come back once again to the horizon. Good. And now this time you go up with your eyes and your chin and then go down. So you kind of go, we'll say, through your full range of up and down, just with your head and your eyes, not involving your spine yet, just your head and your eyes. Good. Good. And now just pause for a moment. Just rest sitting on the edge of your chair. And now go back to the movement of rounding your chest and your spine as you take your chin and your eyes down. And keeping your back there, stay there, just bringing once again your chin up a little bit onto the horizon and down. And as you do this, observe what's happening with your breath and your breathing. How easy is it for you to breathe? Or are you breathing? So was it Jody that you brought up the fatigue factor? Mm-mm. Or somebody that brought up the fatigue? Carolyn. So one of the reasons that you get fatigue sitting is that when your back is rounded like this, your rib cage is compressed over your lungs. It's hard to get any volume. That's it. Now the next time that you lift your chin, arch your spine, and take it further to look up towards the ceiling. So your chin goes up towards the ceiling. That's it. And then just come back to the neutral. And the next time, lift up your chin and arch your spine. And notice, is anything changing with your breath and your breathing now? Good. Okay, and sit back and rest. Okay, come to the edge of the chair again. And this time, just allow your head to hang down into your chest comfortably. So you should be on the edge of the chair. Your feet should be standing comfortably on the floor. So what that means is that your feet should be spaced or positioned where it's comfortable so that the knee and the hip are lined up in a right angle. So some of you have your feet really close together, which requires a lot of work in your thighs. So that's it. Okay, and allowing your head and your chin to just hang down into your chest, can you begin to arch your spine? So there's no movement in your head and your neck, but you just arch your spine, and then you go back to rounding your spine. So rounding your spine would be that your spine rounds backwards, right? Your chest folds in the front, and then when you arch it, your chest lifts and your back arches, but there's no movement in your head and your neck. So in a way, that's a constraint. That's nice, Carolyn. So how can you allow yourself to move in your spine without moving in your head and your neck? Because this becomes very useful working at the computer. That's it. And now notice what's happening with your pelvis and what we call the sacrum and the tailbone. So are you just moving in the spine, or is there any movement in the pelvis? So first ask yourself the question. Don't change it. Just find out what you do. And now see if you can add to the movement kind of a tilting or rounding with the pelvis. So when you round your spine, it's as if you would take your tailbone way underneath you. And as you begin to arch your spine, can you think of the tailbone lifting? Okay, sit back and pause for a moment. How are you doing, Melissa, with your arms back there? You okay? Okay, come to the edge of your chair again. Once again, allow your head to hang comfortably into your chest. So again, the constraint is we're not going to move the neck. We're going to move the spine and the pelvis. And see if you can think of, with your pelvis, this idea of the tailbone, as if you were a dog. So you're going to sit on your tail, if you had a tail, and you round. And then you would, like, lift your tail high up into the sky so that you're no longer sitting on it. Just like dogs do when they're happy, right? They lift it high up into there.
I'm confused.
So imagine it. So if anybody has other constraints like surgical constraints, fusions, all you do is imagine it. You'll be amazed at what your imagination does. It will create a relationship of what could happen, which will ease up other areas in movement. That's it. So as you arch your spine, you take the tail out. Again, your chin hangs into your chest. I know that's hard to have that constraint. And then you round your back and you take the tail under. Really take that tail under. So on the front side of you is the area that's called your pubic bone. It's an area we don't talk a lot about. So when you're taking your tail under, that pubic bone pulls up. So everybody draw your attention to that. The pubic bone actually pulls up as you tuck the tail under. And then when you lift the tail and you expose the tail, the pubic bone tilts down. Does everybody know where their pubic bone is? So that you feel what's happening through the whole pelvis, the whole front and back side. Good. Sit back and rest. Okay. Okay, come to the edge of your chair again. And now this time we'll start with lowering your head down into your chest, rounding your spine, softening your chest, taking your tail under, in a way combining all those movements. And now go ahead, as you lift the tail and you start to arch your spine and lift your chest, then your chin begins to move away from your chest to go up towards the ceiling, as if you were going to look up towards the ceiling, but please at this point keep your eyes closed. And then you fold and round again. So we're now involving what we would say your entire self. And what's most important is now the timing. It's the relationship between the different parts of yourself. So if you lift the chin too soon, the chest will fall. So, there's a really specific, you see you lift it too soon. There's a really specific moment, and this is what's so key in this work, is to find the moment when you lift the chin, because otherwise the chest will stay fallen. And then what you do is you overwork the lower back. So you end up overarching the lower back because you didn't give time to the thoracic spine to lift to help the head. So this is what's so important about this method, is taking the time to finding the relationships and feeling the timing. Lift here first. Back up. And this is why I had the constraint of keeping your head down. Okay? Now, just feel. Feel. Okay, now start with the tail. And then come here, 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 there. Now, you feel how different that is? So, there. Good. Now start with the tail. Start with the chest. That's it. Pick this up, and then you can do your head. That's nice. So if you don't understand it, see if you can actually then maybe create it for yourself. So try to lift the chin soon. So as soon as you do the tail, lift the chin and watch what happens with the chest. Often how we learn is by doing things in the way that we don't understand them, and then we can understand them. That's it. Now look for the timing. As you take the tail out, that the chest starts to lift as you arch your spine. And when is that moment that you'd want to begin to lift your chin away from your chest, away from your throat? And the next time you do this, you can open your eyes and look to where you're looking on the ceiling and see if it's different than the beginning. Don't touch. Okay, so go slow. Way too fast. So go slow. Go back, because there's stuff in here. Go slow. Yeah. That's enough. Feel it, lift. Think here. Out and up. There. But go slower. So do that just a couple more times to satisfy yourself of where you can look on the ceiling. And when you look up at the ceiling, also take a moment to notice where are you sitting in your buttocks and in your pelvis. So there should be an experience of sitting on these two hard bones that are called your sit bones. So see if you feel those when you're looking up. Okay, and sit back and take a rest. Okay, come to the edge of your chair again. And this time you're going to turn yourself slightly to the right. So you're going to do that from your waist. So your legs stay forward. You're just going to turn your trunk a little bit to the right. So just very slight and stay there. So just turn to the right. So your shoulders and your head turn to the right. Yeah? Okay. So that's your starting point. And from here, begin to round yourself back. So you round now like on a diagonal. You lower your chin, you soften your spine. And then as you push your belly forward and lift your tail, you should actually come to weight bearing more onto your right sit bone, to the point that you may feel the left lift up a little bit. And when you round back, most of your weight comes onto the left sit bone. So it's the same movement we just did in a forward position, but you're turned to the right. So your chest lifts as your chin lifts over to the right. If you're feeling too tired and you need to pause, you can pause on your own and then come back to the movement.
I can't shift from the right to the left. Like it hurts my tailbone.
Okay. Okay, so Okay, go to the center. Okay, bring yourself a little more forward. That's it. And now just turn a little, there, a little bit. How's that? Now go back over there. Turn. There. Now round back this way. Now come over this way. Think pubic bone first. Chest. So you get off the sit bone, you come more over the thigh. Ah, there. Okay, and now go back over there. That's it. Great. Yeah, and come over. Now continue just a few more times, and as you come up, at the same time that you're coming up with your chin, can you take your right shoulder backwards, as if you're going to turn and look over your right shoulder a little bit more. So you round back, and then as you're coming up and forward over to the right, and your chin is coming up towards the ceiling, you take the right shoulder backwards. That's it. So it almost, you know, begins to twist your spine more. But again, it's the timing. So it's at the end of the movement. It's when your chin is coming up that you begin to take the right shoulder back. Right shoulder back. Good. Come back to the center and pause for a moment. Doing okay, David? Okay, please come forward again on your seats. And this time you're going to turn yourself slightly to the left. So again, you're turning at the waistline in your shoulders. And then you begin to round back, which means you bring your weight onto your right sit bone. Your chin lowers, your chest, your tail goes underneath. And then you begin by your belly comes forward. Your pubic bone goes down, your weight shifts onto the left side. There. Your chest comes forward, so your chest should be coming forward over the left thigh. You look up with your chin, and can you take the left shoulder back? So again, it's the timing. When does the shoulder come back? Just do a little like right here and there and here. And think about as you're doing this, where would this be useful? When would you be looking over your right shoulder? Oh, you guys are so brilliant. What? Okay. Go down. So continue to do it a few more times, looking for how elegant can you make the movement. See, it's really not about anybody else in the room. It's what you can do and looking for a way that it feels effortless and elegant. Because then looking over your left shoulder driving isn't a problem. That's it. Good. Do you have this on? Do you need to keep this on?
No, yeah. I can take it off.
Okay. Will you take it off for me? Okay. And if you've done enough, please sit back and rest for a minute. Okay. Did you have you had surgery or something?
Fusion in 14 months.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I'm going to work with you a little bit. I'm going to do that with the group. Okay? Good. Is that okay now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, hang on.
You know when I was doing the right side?
Mm-hmm.
I felt like my sinus was going to tighten up.
Great. I mean, not great that happened, but that's really good because that tells you about what you're doing or not doing. So we're going to figure it out. Okay? We'll figure it out in this next movement. Okay, everybody come back to sitting. We only have one more thing to do. So my preference is that you do not get up and walk around. Okay? You just have to hold on. That's a constraint. So when I'm in charge, you don't do that because it's not useful for the lesson and what you're learning. It breaks your learning. Okay. So when you were turning to the left or the right? Okay, when you turn to the right. Okay. Okay, so come back to the center. We're almost to the end. Hang on. It takes a lot of concentration. So this time we're going to combine these two last movements. So you'll turn yourself to the right. You'll round and you'll look all the way up to the right. And then as you round back, you'll come through the center, over to the left, then look up to the left and come back down. Does that make sense? Is that clear? Yes, I can. So you start by turning to the right, okay, and then you arch and look up over to the right. You pull that right shoulder back. Then you come back to the rounding, and through the rounding, you turn through your center and go over to the left. And then you begin to look up to the left and take the left shoulder back. And everybody's going to be going at a different pace, a different speed. Use the time to discover for yourself how to enjoy doing the movement, how freeing it is, how effortless. Okay, I'll be right. So, David, I'm going to be with you in a sec. Okay, let's go to the left. Okay. Okay, stop. Now, can you feel how you still have weight over there on the right? Okay, that's exactly. That's why. So no matter what you're doing, you spend all your time on the right side. You load over there all the time. So shift over. And so find a way to get over onto that. That's it. And then round back. So just do the left a couple times. And now come back over the left leg and get off that right. There.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah. Now round back and let's turn to the other side. There, and now when you round back, make sure you round back over to that side. But so you're still over here. Go, you see that? There. There. So that what it tells you is no matter what, your habit is you want to hang out over here.
Okay.
And this is why it goes to sleep and gets all funny in the movie theater. There's your answer. So it's because you don't know how to get onto the left side. So all you do is learn to get on the left and the right leg won't bother you anymore. Okay, good. So even though you've had the fusions, just think it's possible. That's it. And here, that's it. Good. And now when you round that tail so you can take, that's it. Good. And now come up. That's it. Good. And then slowly round. Very good. Ah, there. How does that feel? Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's okay? Okay with your legs?
Yeah.
Okay, good. And beautiful. So just do the movement once or twice more. Got equipment here. And then, it's okay, just come back to your seat, to the center. You can sit back and rest. And notice where you choose to sit back to now. Do you go back to your habit, what you think is comfortable? Or again, is it just familiar? And maybe there's a different place you want to sit now. Okay, how are we doing? Okay? Did we learn anything? Yes? Yeah? Yeah.
When I go from side to side, I get real lightheaded.
Mm-hmm.
Is that typical?
Well, anything can be typical.
Oh.
Some people can, and so it probably has to do a little bit with balance and your vestibular system. And
okay.
So it would be useful for you to keep doing it. Keep working with it. Some of it has to do with differentiating your trunk from your hips and relearning that. So the more that you do it, the less that will occur.
Okay.
No, dizzy.
Oh, my whole back burns doing all this stuff, but that I got lightheaded doing swinging.
Yeah, it's lightheaded. Mm-hmm. Okay, yes, what's...
Hi, Rachel. I just
had
a question. I guess I sort of realized this as we were going through it. Because of an injury on the left side, I tend to sit more on the right side, I guess, like Julie. But then it's not clear to me how to overcome that, because it does hurt a little bit to put more weight on the left side.
Great question.
You know that you're out of symmetry.
Right.
You don't want to keep that pattern going.
Right. It's a fabulous question. So what you have to do is become aware, and it's like you talk to yourself. So it's like, okay, is there a way I can go over to the left? See, our assumption is, immediately when we feel something like discomfort, is our assumption is, can't do that, can't go there. It's like all of a sudden, done. So it's like you got to go, well, wait a minute. This is what we just did. I added in all these different variables, these different options. Maybe if I turn my torso a little bit more. Maybe if I shift the weight from the sit bone onto the thigh a little bit. So you start to learn to ask yourself questions. If I can teach you today to learn to ask yourself questions, it'll change your life. Because then you don't stop at the pain. Because you can only always find just doing the smallest amount of movement in one direction will change the whole experience. Right? It completely changed it. So it's like now Julie's job is every time she goes to the movie theater, every situation, she plays with that. Because then it's got to become familiar. Otherwise, she's going to keep on going back to the same thing. And what you're doing is you're stopping there. So it will be a question of, which we'll go into, is exploring where can you go to the left that it's available. And there still might be, I mean, pain's a whole nother topic. There could still be slight discomfort there. And one thing to learn in life is what discomfort is okay and useful and what discomfort isn't. There's another assumption that every pain is not useful. So we immediately, again, shut down and jump away from it. It's like, uh-oh, feel pain, don't go there, end of story, you know. But sometimes the pain can just be because there's been surgery, there's scar tissue, the muscles are very bound up, and you actually need a little movement in there to get things going again, blood flow. So I don't know if you guys do that, but it's like one of the things I do a lot is teach people about pain. And to learn for themselves when is a pain a useful pain and when is it not. So on yourself, that's what you explore. And you know, you'll know. You're the smartest person in your body. You'll know when you'll go somewhere and you go, oh, this is absolutely not okay. And then you just change and you go, oh, but this I can do. There's a sense in your body that your breathing is still happening. It's okay. It's when your breathing stops, everything tenses, things start to shut down, you know it's not okay. That makes sense? And the only way you're going to learn that is try it. You got to figure it out for yourself. Everybody's got to experiment. Again, it's trying these little variations to see what's possible, what's not. Okay? But not what used to happen is, like with athletes, it's like push through it. You know, ignore it. By no means do you ignore it. You dialogue with it. You learn to understand it. You almost learn to embrace pain. so that you can really understand it. Okay, any other questions or comments or thoughts? So some of you felt like this would be useful in driving, yeah? Did everybody learn something? Yes? Okay, what are some of the things that you learned? Is it Dina?
Yeah. That when I lift my chest up, it allows fuller volume of the lungs.
Great. Did anybody else experience that? Yeah? Okay. What else? Jennifer.
It's harder to stabilize your spine when you're tilting your head.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yes, Judy.
I learned that my comfortable position, or not so comfortable when I went back to it, was at the end.
Great.
And I was sitting with the, in the, you know, the posterior toe, so people don't have to double on top.
Uh-huh.
So I noticed now that it is more comfortable to sit in that one.
Great.
I'm more aware of that natural position.
Good. Okay. Anything else?
Range of motion increase.
Range of motion. Okay. So why would that be useful?
You're feeling like you're too stiff to go through the movements, would loosen you up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what? Why would that, again, be useful?
You might be able to drive better.
Okay. And why would you be able to drive better? Yeah, just keep on going. I want to see where you can go with it. What does it mean? I mean, we use terms like range of motion, but what does that mean? I want you to understand what that means. It's kind of like a dead term in a way. I mean, what does it mean? What does range of motion mean? That's what I want to get out of you. So, what does it mean to you?
You can move your head, move whatever body part you're stretching, you can move it farther.
Okay. Okay, so you can move. I like parts of that, which is means that you can move all of yourself, right? In a way, you've got more parts of yourself participating.
Yes.
So if more parts of yourself are participating, we increase the ability to move in directions. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That's more useful than range of motion. It's more important for you to know that if you involve more of yourself and it's involved, that you can do things in the world than just the term range of motion. So when you're working with people out there, if you talk to them in those terms, that you're going to learn how to have more of yourself participate. There's more usage of yourself. That makes more sense than just range of motion. It's like, what do you do with range of motion?
But couldn't it be both?
It can, but...
It could be both.
Yeah, but I want you to understand why it's there, what's happening in your body.
But couldn't it be a combination of both? I mean, you're stretching your muscles as you're doing these movements, which makes you be able to move farther. And if some people are not using the full body,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you could have been using the full body to begin with and still, after doing it several times, be able to go farther because you've been doing the movement rather than using more parts. It's possible.
You probably would then have pain or discomfort somewhere. Because you'd be overusing one part if you're not using the other part. So anyways, I mean, my point is I want you to understand that usually range of movement increases, if we're going to use that term,
okay,
because you're involving more of yourself. I think it's very difficult to put a constraint on you and that you're going to feel that you can. So let's take the constraint. Come to the edge of your chair and sit with your chin hanging down and arch your spine. Right? So don't move. Yeah. Okay. And go back. No, and do it again. Keep your chin down. So now you've got a constraint. Right? Keep on doing it. So you're not using your full self, right? The constraint
right.
is you're not involving your head.
Right.
Okay, so what is the range of motion of your spine right now? Okay, that's the
right.
question. Now, add in letting your chin and your eyes go up to the ceiling. So now you involve your neck and your whole self, and tell me if the range has increased.
Well, yes.
Okay. Well, that was my point.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, yes, Carolyn.
Well,
I learned that I lifted my shoulder unnecessarily when I twisted in order to get more.
Uh-huh, great. I mean, that's a good awareness. Mm-hmm. So now...
I was working extra hard.
Okay. Okay, so what I thought we would do now is actually pair up. Is I'd like you to find a partner. Hi, Suzanne. new person comes in. So I'd like you to pair up with somebody, and you're going to stay with this partner for the day, and we're going to work with each other. So it's nice if you're willing to find somebody that you don't know, but if you feel like you really want to work with a person that you know, that's okay too. And then I'll take you through a couple things, and then we'll take a break. Is that, are we doing okay? Let's see. Yeah? 10:20? Okay. That sound okay? So, find a partner. Yes?
When I was driving, I did not have time to go through my whole spine to look over my left shoulder.
Of course not. You might hit somebody.
No, I'm sorry.
But you know, we can eat and talk on the phone and drink.
I am driving, which is my problem, my upper
right.
My upper
right.
Back. A lot of pain when I'm driving.
Driving. Mm-hmm.
And this is great. Feels great.
Good.
Not going to work on
them. Well, of course not. You can't think of all these things, but the idea is that you start learning them now, and as you become aware of them, and you practice this like every day a little bit on your own, it's kind of an amazing thing that happens, is that once you become aware of something in your body, you will learn it and you will start doing it. It will become automatic.
But is it actually physiologically possible to do it fast enough?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yes. Absolutely, but it's a great question. But you first have to learn it. The key is your nervous system has to first learn what you're asking of it, and you have to first do that slowly. But it's amazing. Once you get it, you won't forget it. Like, it's very difficult for me to even imagine going back to how I used to move. You know, or sometimes I'll have clients come in and they do things and I try to mimic it, and it's almost physically impossible for me to do the constraints, because once you learn it.
Yeah, I understand for sitting and other things.
Yeah.
The looking over the shoulder, it's just not something that
is
connecting right now, because I'm thinking I need a second to do it.
Right. And it will come.
Than do it right for my body.
The best thing is for you to practice this at home when you're not driving.
Yes.
Okay? To practice it at home every day, so that you become aware. And then your body will learn it. And then you'll all of a sudden, I mean, it's just kind of amazing. You'll be driving, and you'll do it. And you'll go, I'll be darn, I did it without thinking. You know, this is what clients come back to me all the time and say, I just bent over to pick something up, and I haven't bent over in a year. And they didn't think about it. That's when your nervous system and your body really has it. But it's not going to magically happen. You have to take time to become aware. So it means you have to do it. So, but it will happen. Okay? So you don't have to think about it in the car. Or what will also happen is you won't do it in the car. You'll be driving and you'll go, I didn't do what I learned. That's as useful, because it means something you learned from me. And then your mind and your body is going to say, but I want to do what I learned. And just that thinking will make it start happen. Does that make sense? Okay, so has everybody got a partner? Yes, David.
Just the fluidity of going from left to right, and imagining in a car, the movement of going from here to here,
mm-hmm.
and that freeing up of the pelvis.
Yes.
This whole thing, because if you're
fabulous.
Locked,
yes.
Like I've been, and you're...
Great. Well, the other thing that you can do, too, is this is another idea, is get in your car and don't drive. Just sit in your car and practice it for like a few seconds, like before you drive. Like, put your seatbelt on so you feel the constraint of the seatbelt, because often people feel like the seatbelt's there, I can't move. So you put your hands on and you just pretend. Just feel like what I can do, and you know, and I'm driving, and you know. So it's like take it to that level, and then just shut it off, and you'll see. You'll be amazed. It'll just start happening. Good question. Okay. Stop.